The postseason is here for Michigan track and field, both the women's and men's teams heading to Lincoln, Nebraska for the Big Ten Outdoor Championships this Friday through Sunday. We'll preview everything coming up for the Wolverines with the director of track and field here on campus. That's Kevin Sullivan. Coach Sullivan coming your way when we come back here on Conquering Heroes.
Welcome to your one-stop podcast for all things Michigan athletics. Updates on every team on campus and interviews with players and coaches are all on the way. This is Conquering Heroes. Here's your host, Brian Bush.
Always a pleasure to talk some track and field with the Mark Weiser, Director of Track and Field and Cross Country here at the University of Michigan, Kevin Sullivan, getting ready for the Big Ten Outdoor Championships this weekend in Lincoln, Nebraska. Coach, appreciate you coming by. It's a three-day event, Friday through Sunday. So can you just kind of lay out what this schedule looks like for both the men's and the women's team and how everything gets done in just those 3 days?
Yeah, they're pretty long days, especially for the coaching staff, since we're out there from start to end. But that's one of the things with track and field is, with the number of events we have, trying to fit them into a 3 day schedule can lead for some pretty long days. I mean, primarily most of Friday and Saturday are preliminary rounds for pretty much everything on the track. There are a couple of track finals, 10K final, steeplechase final, and a few field event finals, but most of track stuff is all preliminaries. And then Sunday is just primarily just all finals on the track. So that day runs by pretty quick. That fits in like a 3 hour window, a few throws and field event finals on Sunday. But yeah, the bulk of all the scoring happens on Sunday. It's more like Friday and Saturday kind of sets you up for where your team's going to finish on Sunday.
So how do you, the rest of your assistants, try to be as involved, as present as possible? And is that something, as you're going through the season, you all are getting on the same page on to make sure you're ready for a big moment like this one?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of logistics go into it. For the most part, each coach has their own event area that they're primarily responsible for. So that helps in a certain sense. For me, I'm going to be there pretty much, from first event to last events as the head coach. But, my focus for the rest of our staff is like, take care of your event group areas first. Any support we get outside of that is fantastic, but, we kind of have very specific jobs to do within their event area. So, we kind of set meets up like that throughout the year where, the sprint coach is focused on sprint and hurdles. And once he's done there, then he can shift over and kind of help out in some other areas where we may need him. Same thing with our other coaches, but more just trying to be there and support as much as we can.
That being said, you were a high level athlete in these types of settings. At this point, as an athlete, is a lot of the hay in the barn? Do you have to say less to some of these young men and women because it's been something that they've done over and over here for the last few months and obviously most of their lives?
Yeah, we've got an interesting mix on our team because we have some veterans, some really high level performers that have, been obviously at this level, but also been NCAA finalists, All Americans. For them, less is more. Like I really, especially in my event area, I'm very much like try to minimize the amount of kind of pre-race, pre-event talk. You focus on like a couple of key points for each race or each athlete, but don't overload them with information. I mean, I think that's just good advice in general. Once you get into a kind of championship setting for any of our event areas, it's like you pick one or two cues to help your athlete. Because at that point, it's like they've done all they can to prepare at this point. And if you overload them with too much information, then that can just kind of send them in a downward spiral. And so, yeah, I'm very much a less is more type coach when it comes to competition day.
Let's talk a little bit about each of the teams, starting with the women's side. Last year, they finished in ninth place at this event. Compare and contrast this year's group with last year's, obviously understanding that there was a pretty big loss with the great career of Savannah Sutherland coming to an end last year.
Yeah, obviously losing an athlete of Savannah's caliber, that's obviously a big loss. It's a big number of points. We've had some young women step up to try and fill those roles, and that's not certainly not an easy task. But I think you know, we have a young women's sprint corps that is kind of coming into their own. You know, Peyton Smith in the 400, Kiana Otey, who's just a freshman but broke our school record and is now school record holder in the 100 and the 200 as a true freshman. So those are nice kind of gaps that you fill in. Liz Tapper in the shot put has taken a big step forward, where from making NCAAs last year to being first team All-American this year indoors. So you kind of rely on that experience and those, you know, those young women that were, you know, freshman and sophomore last year, hopefully taking that step forward and kind of helping a young team kind of move forward. You know, that's our best options.
You mentioned Kiana Otey, 23.00 in the 200 meter earlier this month down in North Carolina. She is a freshman. She's from Sturgis. Can you tell us how you got on her radar, she got on your radar, and did you expect this early from her as a freshman?
I think anytime a freshman kind of breaks out the way she has, it's not completely expected. I mean, certainly I think we saw last year, you know, and Coach Rajewski especially, who recruits the sprints area, you know, saw that, you know, there was maybe a diamond in the rough there. You know, coming from a, you know, smaller school, smaller city, you know, not as big a coaching and competitive background, like was not on a real big stage a lot of times. And so, you know, those are the types of athletes where you hope once you get them into kind of a more structured fold that they're going to take those steps forward. And certainly that's something that she's done this year. We saw some really nice performances indoors. And it's just kind of, she's just kind of springboarding into the outdoor season and really blossomed and super, super cool. Like when she broke the school record, she didn't even realize at first she'd broken the school record. I came over to congratulate her right afterwards. And she's like, how close was I to the school record? I'm like, you are the school record holder now. You know, so I was like, you know, big smile and hugs. And, you know, so, you know, it's fun to see athletes have those breakouts, you know, and I think it's now, you know, changing her mindset as well from, you know, you come in as a freshman, a lot of times you're hoping to make the Big Ten team. And now you're in a position where you've got an opportunity to be a Big Ten finalist. Now you got an opportunity to score points at the Big Ten level. And that's not very common for freshmen in the league now, with how deep and talented it is.
Another individual who showed some tremendous flashes as a freshman, you mentioned her, Peyton Smith. She's had a great year. Where has she taken that next step from a freshman to now a sophomore year where she's excelled like she has in some of those sprinting spots?
Yeah, I think some of it is she's more confident in herself. Certainly from the technical side of things, you know, she has a tendency to get really long when she's late in the race, and we're starting to see her get stronger, shorten her stride up a little bit, where, you know, she's not losing as much momentum in the last 100, where she's actually gaining on women now. So we're just kind of seeing, you know, different athlete kind of emerge especially over the last few weeks. And she's kind of elevated herself to the top of the conference now. And, you know, that's, you know, where our hope was, because she was, you know, very highly regarded coming out of high school and, you know, had a nice freshman year. But again, it's like those are the athletes that you're really banking on, those athletes making that next step. And she's continuing to do that. She'll be an integral part of our 4x4, women's 4x4, which should place high in the conference. So, you know, she's got a couple of different roles to play on the team now.
What other areas on the women's side must stand out, elevate, perform up to its standard for you all to maximize this trip out to Nebraska this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, really for us, it's about, you know, our big hitters have to hit. That's the key for us. And you know, and then you want to be able to pick up some smaller points or kind of around the board. But, you know, Liz Tapper in the shot put, that's a big event for us. As I mentioned earlier, she was first team All-American indoors. The shot put is one of the deepest events in the conference, so it's a tall task. But, you know, we've got hopes that, you know, she'll perform the way she has performed all year, and that should get us some good points there. Hannah Preco in the steeplechase, she just took up the steeplechase this year and is now sitting fourth in the conference. So that's been, you know, it's one of those events where you improve the more you do it, typically. And so she's already sitting, you know, top six, I think, on our all-time school list. And, you know, she takes another few seconds off and that could elevate her into a top three spot in the conference. So I think those were unexpected points that we're really hoping for. You know, and then again, we've got a good young sprint crew. So picking up points in the 4x4, 4x1, that'll be important. Emery Ross, a true freshman in the 800, it's another area we'll hope to pick up some points there. And And then I think we've got a sprinkling of points kind of around the board outside of that.
We're with Director of Track and Field, Kevin Sullivan, here on Conquering Heroes. Let's flip to the men's side. An event last year, you guys finished tied for 11th. So same question as the women's side. Where has this team grown from last year to this year outdoor?
Yeah, I mean, we've always been pretty strong in the distance area, and it's been a challenge. You know, the new conference bringing in Washington and Oregon, that has elevated the distance side of things in what was already a strong conference. But we've taken some big strides there right now this year. And even indoors, we were 11th outdoors last year, we were fourth indoors this year. And we did that on the backs of kind of the distance side of things. So, right now we have athletes, Trent McFarland's ranked number three in the NCAA right now in the 1500. His teammate Brendan Herger's ranked number four, and they're number three and number 10 all time in the NCAA in that event. So looking for big points out of the 1500. We're coming off a big win at Penn Relays in the 4x800. So our 800 meter squad, we've got, Miles Brown and Camden Law and John O'Reilly there. They all have the potential to make the final. The biggest challenge is those events are so deep in the conference that you could literally be All America and not make the final of the conference. So we've got to make sure we take care of business on Friday and Saturday in the preliminary rounds there. I think we've got other avenues of point scoring in men's shot with Josh Heisman. Our 4x4 should get some solid points. We'll pick up a few more. Hopefully. In the steeplechase in the 5K, but we have a lot of emphasis on the distance side of things. So if those guys perform, that'll be a good start. Where then hopefully we can gather some momentum and grab a few points in some other areas as well.
You alluded to that 1500 meter. Trent McFarland and Brendan Herger both beating your school record from the past, which obviously for you that had to have been a point of pride to have helped them get to that point. What was it like to see it, and what allowed those two young men in particular to be able to have such success in a race that's obviously, it like the back of your hand?
Yeah, no, I mean, well, first off, they're just competitors, and we had two meets on the schedule, Raleigh Relays down at NC State and the Wake Forest Invitational at Wake Forest. Those were kind of the two kind of primary events where we had those focused and circled on the calendar. Like, we're going to take good shots at, not necessarily the school record, but we're going to take good shots at running personal best there, trying to run as fast as we possibly could. And we got two really good setup races, solid competition, good pacemaking, and we just got good nights on both days. And then you have two guys that really thrive on competition. So both guys trying to win those races. And when you get in that situation and you have two good racers, then usually good things happen from there. So they both took really big steps forward indoors this year. And that momentum has carried into the outdoor season. And they're two of the favorites to win the NCAA title. That's going to be not an easy task. I mean, the number one athlete in the 1500 is in our conference, and the collegiate record holder. They know they've got a tall task, but at the same time, right now Trent's undefeated in the 1500 this year. He was undefeated in every single mile race he ran indoors, except for the NCAA championship. So, he knows how to win, and Brendan's right on his tail every race. So they both believe they can win. They both have the talent to win, and that's usually half the battle.
You've talked a lot, obviously, about the distance side on the men's team, but just this past weekend, Jake Mashiniak breaking the program record in the 200 meter at 20.58. Now the program's record holder, both indoor and outdoor. What about Jake has allowed him to have the type of success, not just the season, but obviously it seems like he's peaking at the right time?
Yeah, no, it's been great. And, Jake's a transfer from Grand Valley, and we saw good form out of him last year when we started kind of recruiting him out of the transfer portal. That has certainly carried over this year. I think, one, he's been able to get in front of some better competition, which has been great. One of the challenges, I think, sometimes with any sprinter is just getting good, consistent, healthy training in, and he's been a guy that he hasn't been banged up this year. He hasn't missed much if any time with injury, illness, and those things go a long way. You don't really realize it until you miss you miss 10 days or you miss 2 weeks with an achy hamstring or something else. And the same thing, he's just a great competitor. I think that's the one thing about our best scorers and our best competitors, just they thrive on trying to win races. And if you do that, you know, the times will come, performances will come. You don't have to focus as much on what the mark's going to be. It's just like, go out and race, do your thing, let your competitive instincts come take over. And, you know, if you're winning races, winning heats, then good fast times are going to come.
I want to make sure we touch on that 4x800 team, because you alluded to, you know, some of the back and forth, the competitive nature of Trent McFarlane and Brendan Herger. They're on that team with Camden Law and John O'Reilly. That's a unique beast where you have to obviously excel individually, but also there's some camaraderie, some team related actions and activities in a relay that isn't necessarily there in some of the individual events. How have those four been able to come together the way that they've had to do what they did at the Penn Relays, one of the great runs in NCAA history?
Yeah, no, it was a great run, you know, just from the fact, like last year we finished third in the 4x8 at Penn, and we circled it on the calendar after that meet. That was our target for this year at Penn. That was the one race we knew we were going to load up and try and go after the win. You know, we have our in-conference rivals, Penn State, who are, you know, year over year, probably the top 800 meter producing school in the conference, if not the country. So, you know, tall task at hand, but, you know, again, you go back to like the competitiveness of the team that helps. First of all, our guys are competitive amongst themselves. Like they all want it. They're all kind of alpha dogs, and, you know, they all kind of, you know, it's like, you can put any one of them on the anchor. Like all of them want to anchor the relay. They all want kind of that glory leg. But at the same time, like, you know, I was having a challenging time of figuring out whether I was going to anchor Cam or whether I was going to anchor Trent. And both of them came to me like, hey, we both want to anchor, but we're okay. Whatever you decide, like we're going to play our role. And I think that's the best thing about this team is like, you put them in a position, they're okay, whether they're first man, fourth man, and they're going to do their job to the best of their ability. And, you know, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, if we win, they all share in that success. And when you get people that are of that mindset rather than I just want the individual glory for myself, you know, then good things happen as a team.
You gave us a great roadmap on the women's side of how to maximize things this weekend. How about on the men's side, beyond some of the key contributors, relay teams we've discussed?
Yeah, I mean, the keys again are your big scorers. So we've got to get big points out of the 800 and the 1500. We've got, you know, three young men in the 5K, actually four in the 5K that I think, you know, all have opportunities to score in the right setting with Nate Lopez and Heath McAllister, Nolan Clark, and Luke Van Huysen. We'll throw Trent in there as well. We're hope that, you know, with Jake's form that we pick up points in the 200, Josh Heisman in the shot put, you know, he's knocking on the door for scoring, you know, in the field, you know, we've got opportunities in the pole vault with Liam Kenny, who scored indoors for us. So, you know, we've got opportunities for some points in kind of a variety of areas there. But again, it's like your big hitters got to hit first and then you kind of pick up some smaller points along the board.
Follow along Friday and Saturday from Lincoln on Big Ten Plus and on Runner Space. Sunday, action moves to Big Ten Network. Kevin Sullivan, appreciate the time. Safe travels and good luck here coming up this weekend in the Big Ten Outdoors.
Great. Thanks. Appreciate it. Go Blue.
Very appreciative of Kevin Sullivan's time. Before the women and the men's track and field teams head out to Lincoln Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the Big Ten Outdoor Championships. John Jansen will be back with you next week here on Conquering Heroes, getting close to the end of the season for our Conquering Heroes for 25-26. But we're going to talk a little rowing next week with John having, of course, a personal connection to the Michigan rowing program. Looking forward to that conversation as we continue along here on Conquering Heroes. Thanks for listening, and go Blue.
Thanks for listening to Conquering Heroes with John Jansen. Conquering Heroes is part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGo Blue Podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.